it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hawkeye Nation Podcast, HawkeyeNation.com. Andrew Downs here with you on a Selection Sunday evening. As we found out, your Iowa Hawkeye women are the one seed in the Albany region, number two in the NCAA tournament after bringing home the Big Ten championship, Big Ten tournament championship for a third straight year, back-to-back-to-back with a big win over Nebraska, big comeback win last weekend, and that vaulted Iowa all the way up to the number two overall seed in the women's NCAA tournament, of course, behind undefeated South Carolina. The only game South Carolina has lost in the last two seasons has been in the Final Four to your Iowa Hawkeyes. And so Caitlin Clark and the Hawkeyes will get to stay home first couple of games. Saturday they will play, and then Monday night will be round two. They will play the winner of the play-in game, the first four, between Holy Cross and UT Martin, a 16-seed matchup there. And that'll be Iowa's first game on Saturday. The Hawkeyes have a tough, tough bracket. It's kind of the talk of the tournament so far, of the selection committee, that the talk of the reaction, I guess, has been that Iowa, even though being the number two overall seed, got the toughest draw, is in the toughest bracket. And, you know, I'm not going to spend a ton of time complaining about that because I don't think it's necessarily a terrible thing. Would I like an easier route to a Final Four or a national championship? Sure, I guess. But ultimately, you have the number one player in the country. You know they're going to line you up with matchups that people are going to want to see. You know that Caitlin Clark's game is going to be the most watched games of the women's tournament. And so there's an extent to which you kind of expect that I was going to get these kinds of matchups. And, you know, honestly, let's do this, right? I mean, if Iowa is good enough to get back to a Final Four, if this team is good enough to win a national championship, they're going to have to beat good teams. And they're going to have to do that in this region for sure. And a lot of familiar teams. I saw Pat Vint tweet something about it's like the ghosts of Caitlin Clark past in this bracket, because you've got a team in Colorado that Iowa played in the Sweet 16 last year. You've got a Drake team as a 12 seed. So Colorado's the 5. Drake is the 12. So that's the potential Sweet 16 game for the Hawkeyes if they are able to get through their first round matchup. And then West Virginia and Princeton is the 8-9 game. So that'd be the second round matchup, the winner of that game. Then the Sweet 16 game would likely, well, it'll be one of these three teams: Colorado, who you played in the Sweet 16 last year; Drake, who you play every year and you have a lot of history with; Kansas State, who you've played twice this year already, lost to and beat, lost to once last season as well. And then Portland is the 13 seed that'll play 4-seed Kansas State. And that's just the top half of the bracket. That's not even the, you know, quote-unquote sexy part, because on the bottom half of this same bracket, the Albany 2 region, as the 2 seed, you've got UCLA, who a lot of people think have a real chance to make a similar type of run to a Final Four, obviously, as a 2 seed. They play California Baptist, a team I don't know anything about. But as the 7 seed in this region, you've got Creighton, a Creighton team that knocked Iowa out of the tournament a couple of years ago with a huge upset in Iowa City. Now, of course, Iowa's not going to have to see but one of these teams if they get to the Elite Eight. So keep that in mind as we go to the 3 seed and LSU. Angel Reese and the LSU Tigers and Kim Mulkey, That's the matchup everybody wants to see. That's the sexy thing. They play Rice, who's the 14 seed in this region. Oh, and oh, by the way, Louisville, who Iowa, if you remember again, played in the tournament last season in the Elite Eight. Yes, in the Elite Eight, beat Louisville last year, and Haley Van Lith, who is now with LSU. So there are just a ton of teams here who who Iowa has played before, who Iowa has, you know, a bit of a rivalry with. There's a revenge factor on Iowa's side for a couple of these teams. There's a revenge factor on these other teams for Iowa. And so it really is a tough draw. There's no question about it, but there are some positives too. The biggest positive, obviously, is that South Carolina is on the other side of the bracket. So they're the number one overall seed again. Iowa, the number two overall seed. So they don't have to play each other until they both make it to the national championship game. And that's great. Obviously, for the Hawkeyes, you want to avoid South Carolina for as long as possible. And then you've got USC as the one seed that you would play in the Final Four. And again, that's a matchup with Juju that a lot of people would like to see. And so you can see why they kind of lined these things up the way that they did. And again, sure, it's not easy for the Hawkeyes. It's a tough, tough draw. It's probably the toughest region. There's only so much you can complain about that, though, right? And there's only so much. It does no good. It does no use. It's a waste of energy to hem and haw about that. It doesn't matter. It is what it is. The bracket is set. And now it's up to the Hawkeyes to go and do what they have claimed they want to do, what we all know that they are capable of doing, go back to a Final Four, go win a national championship. The other thing is, you know, we assume a lot of things when we look at these brackets on Selection Sunday. When these things come out, we think we know what's going to happen. And as we've seen in the last few years, especially on the women's side, this thing is not a it's not a sure thing by any means. I mean, certainly I would bet that Iowa will get through to an Elite Eight game, but that's not a guaranteed thing. And I would bet that it'll be either UCLA or LSU awaiting them in the Elite Eight, but that's not a guaranteed thing either. You don't have to play both those teams. You just have to play one. It's going to be a physical, tough game between those two teams if they do play in the Sweet 16. And so, you know, bring it on. I mean, this is it for Caitlin Clark. Hopefully we have six games left of her. And I don't think she would want it any other way. I'll see if we can get any audio of her. I know she met with the media a little bit just after the selection happened, after the selection show happened on ESPN. And so I can almost guarantee what she says, though, is, hey, this is how we want it. This is good for women's basketball to have these kinds of matchups on this kind of a stage. And, you know, bring it on. If you're going to be the best, you have to beat the best. Sure, would I like it if one of these teams gets knocked off somewhere before they have to play Iowa? Absolutely. But if Iowa has to run through a gauntlet to a Final Four, then so be it. And it'll feel even better when they do. And if you remember, and I know you do, what it was like last March and how it felt when Iowa played these teams and Iowa beat these teams and Caitlin Clark had career nights against these teams, it made it that much sweeter. The fact that Iowa beat South Carolina last year made that Final Four better. It did. And beating LSU to get to a Final Four this year will feel great. I think, again, you can have qualms with how this came about, with how this laid out. But ultimately, I mean, you give me Iowa, Kansas State, part three, followed by Iowa, LSU, the rematch, followed by Caitlin versus Juju in USC in the Final Four, followed by the rematch between South Carolina and Iowa in the national championship game. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. So, I mean, those are the expectations. You're the number two overall seed. The expectation is to get to the Final Four and beyond. And Caitlin Clark's not going to be able to do it herself. I know on the broadcast, on the selection show, they mentioned that Gabby Marshall is the X factor for this team. And she was last year. We know that. We saw it. And she can be again this season. And that's going to be huge. Obviously, it's not just the two of them. Kate Martin and Hannah Stolke is going to have some big games. Addison O'Grady and some of the other players who have really stepped up. We'll see what happens with Molly Davis and her injury. And, you know, whether or not she's able to come back. But, you know, I'm excited about this, and I think you are and should be as well. It's not the easiest draw in the world, but hey, let's do the damn thing. So looking at the Kansas State matchup first, Iowa lost to Kansas State early in the season, 65-58, and then was able to avenge that loss 77-70. So that'd be a heck of a third game, kind of a rubber match there for the Hawkeyes. But you could see Drake and the way they're playing right now, knocking off Colorado and getting maybe through Kansas State there. And that would be a lot of fun as well. I think this just lays out really in maybe not a great way, but certainly a fun way for this women's tournament. I'm excited about this. And, you know, we just all have to embrace these last few games, however many it is. I mean, every game now that Caitlin Clark steps on the floor in a Hawkeye jersey may be the last one. And hopefully we'll know it's the last one because it's the national championship game. But when this ends, it's going to come to an end, and it's going to be very emotional. It's going to hurt. It's going to, I mean, you know, unless it ends with hoisting a trophy, and even then it's going to be very emotional, and there's a part of it that's going to hurt a little bit. So let's just enjoy this. Let's have fun. Let's pack Iowa City. Let's really, really, you know, have a great home court advantage Saturday and Monday. And then, you know, I think Chad Lysico pointed out that the other teams aren't close to Albany either. And so if Hawkeye fans are able to kind of make that trip, you could have a home court advantage in Albany against any of these teams, against Kansas State or Colorado, against UCLA or LSU. And so I think it's going to be fun. I'm excited about it. Let's do the damn thing. And then beyond that, no matter how this ends, the future looks bright for this program. You had the big commitment of Addie over the weekend. Or over the last week. So I've been on spring break, and so my time frame is really screwed up. But you've got those big non-conference games already set for next season, Virginia Tech, and then that four-team tournament, or that four-team, you know, get-together early in the next season where, you know, it's just really setting up for Iowa to be kind of a blue-blood program. How do you get there? You get to another Final Four this year, right? You get to back-to-back Final Fours with Caitlin Clark. You capitalize on the time you have with the best player on the planet. You have to do that. And then you reload and you rebuild this team around Hannah Stolke for the next couple of years and around your other pieces that you have. And we know that Lisa Bluder, we've known for a long time that Lisa Bluder is a top, you know, 20 coach in the country in women's college basketball. Is she a top 5 coach? That's what we'll find out here throughout this next couple of weeks and then throughout the next couple of seasons, where, again, we've talked about this before, but there's a real opportunity for Iowa to cement itself as a blue blood level program in women's college basketball. You have to carry it on beyond Caitlin Clark if you're going to do that, though. And they're putting the pieces in place, man. It really seems like it's possible. They're capable of doing it. You just got to get out there and actually do it. And that's what faces this team now. Just go out there, win some of these games. It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Less fun on the men's side, and we'll get to that in just a minute. So we now know the Iowa men's fate in the NIT tournament. The Hawkeyes are a 3 seed, and they will play Kansas State. The Wildcats, Jerome Tang and the Wildcats out of the Big 12, they will play that game in Iowa City on Tuesday night. A big week of basketball in Iowa City at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Men in the NIT on Tuesday, a play-in game on the women's side on Thursday, the Iowa women on Saturday and hopefully Monday. And they may try to squeeze a second round game if UC Irvine beats Utah in the other side of the NIT bracket. Iowa would have the opportunity to host again. I don't know exactly how that would work with everything going on with the women's bracket, the women's tournament being in Carver, but hey, we'll count those chickens when they hatch. We know the Iowa men's next game will be Tuesday night in Iowa City against Kansas State. A Kansas State team that is interesting for sure, right? I mean, end of the season, 19-14, lost to Iowa State in the Big 12 tournament. But was really rolling for a while, 14-4 on January 20th when they beat Oklahoma State, and then lost. I mean, I guess what one went 5-10 the rest of the season. Lost 10 of their last 15 games, including four in a row after that. An overtime win against Kansas was their one win in like the next nine games. They've won a bunch of overtime games. So if this game goes to overtime, Iowa's in trouble. But, you know, this is, again, going to be more about how Iowa plays, and playing at home and shooting well at home seems to be a thing that Iowa does well. And so you feel okay about this. And, I mean, it's the NIT. You're not going to get too excited. You're not going to get too worked up. It'd be nice to beat a Big 12 team. I'm glad that we don't play, you know, a lower level school. I'll be tuned in Tuesday night. I'll hopefully have an instant reaction after a nice win. I mean, this is a young team that at times is really fun to watch. At times is very frustrating to watch, as you all know. And so, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's the NIT, so you're not going to get too worked up either way about this draw. But Iowa, Kansas State Tuesday night in Iowa City. There's more, though, to talk about this men's team and this men's program than just their postseason draw here. Obviously, a hugely disappointing end of the season. After winning four, they're five towards the end of the regular season, starting with that game against Wisconsin in overtime. What a huge win that was. And you go to Michigan State and win. You lose a game at Illinois that you played well in but couldn't quite keep up. You beat Penn State. You beat Northwestern on the road. You felt really good about things. And you lose to Illinois, and you really don't show up in that game. And that was super disappointing. That felt like the game that Iowa needed. Now, there were a bunch of bid stealers this weekend in conference tournaments. And so a win over Illinois, followed by a first-round loss in the Big Ten tournament, probably wasn't going to get Iowa in anyway. A lot of the bubble teams that Iowa was competing with, you know, a week ago when we were thinking about this, didn't end up getting in. But you would have had a different draw in the Big Ten tournament, and who knows how that plays out. The bottom line is, though, you have a disappointing showing in the Big Ten tournament against Ohio State. You lose by 12, and it's just another March disappointment for this Hawkeye basketball team. And that's where we get into the bigger questions, because there are certainly two sides to think about this. And, you know, I did a podcast on this feed, I believe it was after the Penn State loss in football, where, you know, you just kind of look at both sides of the argument. And back then it was both sides of the Kirk Ferentz argument and the tough situation that Iowa football found itself in, which was, and I think, you know, in a different context, not as successful, certainly, but it's a similar conversation about Fran McCaffrey and the direction of this program right now, because it'd be very easy if it was great or if it was terrible. The problem is it's neither of those things. If it was terrible, if Iowa was an awful team, if they weren't fun to watch, if it was Licklider era, if they were missing the tournament regularly, if they didn't have any good recruits coming in, if everything felt like it was falling apart, it'd be easy to make the move. And of course, we'd all be on board with that. If everything was great, if everything was hunky-dory, if they were going back to a six straight NCAA tournament, if they had won these last couple of games, if you have the Big Ten Freshman of the Year like they do in Owen Freeman, if you've got a couple of really good pieces, it feels like coming in and already there. If everything was great, then you feel good about where everything is, and you move forward with Fran McCaffrey. The problem is you're in this no man's land, and it's all about expectations. It's all about, you know, where can you get, where are you going, and I can see both sides of it. Now, I am and have been a pretty staunch Fran McCaffrey defender, and I still think that Fran McCaffrey is the guy to move forward in this job with this program. I think even if I didn't think that, that's what's going to happen. There were a lot of rumors flying around today. They were not true. Fran McCaffrey doesn't appear ready to retire, even though Patrick is leaving and his son Jack is not coming to Iowa. He doesn't appear. They're almost certainly not going to fire him. The buyout would be big. It would set a wild precedent, because historically Iowa is doing pretty good. Pretty good. Even better than that. The thing that holds you back is the thing that's held this program back for 25 years. It's the monkey on this program's back. It's the thing that, until we reach a Sweet 16, no season will feel successful. this was not a disappointing season on the whole. I mean, you go back to when Iowa was 0-3 in the Big Ten and really felt like they didn't have, I mean, it felt like Peyton Sanford didn't quite have it. It felt like Tony Perkins wasn't going to find it. It felt like Owen Freeman was a nice piece and maybe Brock Harding and some of these other guys were going to, you know, be okay, but certainly didn't feel like this team was going to be, you know, a disappointing couple of losses short of making the NCAA tournament back in early January. But this team fought. They do have the Big Ten Freshman of the Year. They did have a breakout player in Josh Dix who had some very good games and, I mean, appears to be on a trajectory to be like a Jared Uthoff type talent. Could be that guy for an Iowa team over the next couple of years. Peyton Sanford, who is, you know, looking more like a potential NBA player, maybe not the alpha, but a piece for a really good team. You got a guy in Brock Harding who we all like. You've got a guy in Price Sanford. You've got some good recruits coming in. You've got a transfer portal where you could go and you know, maybe do something more than just bring in a Valley player. That's where Iowa obviously needs to go. But to expect, you know, I had some Twitter interactions after the loss to Ohio State because people get emotional, as you do, as you expect. You know, but I had some people saying like a down year is not acceptable in the era of transfer portal and NIL, and that's just foolish. That can't be the bar. The bar can't be every year you're making the tournament. If that is the bar, then we're going to fire coaches constantly. I don't think that's realistic for an Iowa program in this Big Ten, nor the Big Ten that we're about to be playing in. And so you're in this tough spot where you're not achieving what you hope to achieve. And now it's another year where not only do you not make a Sweet 16, you're not in the tournament. Another year where you're one and done in the Big Ten tournament. Another year where we get our hopes up and get them dashed. And does that mean it's time to make a change? Does that mean it's time to move the program in a different direction? And even if that direction ultimately is a downward direction, you can then make the change again. When is Darren DeVries ready to leave Drake and come to Iowa? And if he does that, is he able to have the kind of success he's had at Drake where they've won 25 games a couple years in a row? They've won 20 games, you know, several years in a row. They're back in the tournament this year after winning the Missouri Valley tournament. So you wonder, you know, is that the time? Or the other hand, you've got the Big Ten Freshman of the Year. You've got a lot of nice pieces. You got a fun style of basketball offensively. And you are historically placing higher than you have on a more regular basis than most of the time of your history. It's not a good place to be, this kind of no man's land, this middle ground. It's a really tough place. It's a bad place for the fan base to be on Twitter and stuff like that. The crappy thing is nothing is going to matter until Iowa gets to a Sweet 16, and then we can reset expectations. And then we can get back to a normal way of looking at basketball seasons, because whether they're a 3 seed or a 10 seed, falling short of that always feels the same. And so even if Iowa had beaten Illinois, had won a game in the Big Ten tournament, had gotten its way into the NCAA tournament, upset a team, right? Like, I mean, nothing short of a Sweet 16 is ever going to feel satisfactory. So I don't know if Fran McCaffrey is the person to get us there. I like Fran McCaffrey and this program under him. I enjoy watching this team play. I've had more fun during the seasons over these last 5, 6, and really 14 years than I did for much of the time before that. But it always ends the same way, and it always feels the same when it does. That's a tough place to be. So here's another me hemming and hawing and playing both sides and not coming down. Again, I am not for firing Fran McCaffrey, but I'm as disappointed and disgusted and unhappy as you are that Iowa's seasons keep ending this way. And it will feel this way until Iowa gets back to a Sweet 16 and just gets that monkey off their back. Until that stat doesn't exist anymore. No Sweet 16s since Tom Davis's last season. So that's kind of where it is with the Iowa men's basketball program, and that really sucks. It's a bad place to be, but I'll be there Tuesday night watching the game against Kansas State. You know, it's a chance to see these young guys play. I hope Fran lets these young guys play. I don't expect a change in the starting lineup. I don't expect him to sit Patrick or anything like that, or Tony. You know, I don't expect him to say, you know what, we're going to use these games to look forward to next year. Nah, that's not the way he runs that program. That's probably not the way we want him to run that program. I'm glad Iowa didn't decline an opportunity to play in the NIT like a lot of other teams did. Because what's the difference in a few days in the transfer portal? Most of the players you want in the transfer portal are playing in the NCAA tournament anyway. So Tuesday night, Kansas State, let's go beat Jerome Tang. Let's go beat the Wildcats. Make a run in the NIT. Give us something to watch. Give us something to care about outside of the Caitlin Clark, you know, show that we're going to enjoy over the next, hopefully, several weeks. And again, it's just the terrible situation we find ourselves in is until Iowa gets to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, it's always going to feel disappointing. And that's too bad because it's a 30-game season, and most of the time it's more fun than it isn't. Most of the time we're enjoying watching these games. We're enjoying going to these games, those of us who do. Iowa has big wins. They put up big numbers. It's a fun brand of basketball until it isn't, and then it's the least fun brand of basketball. So that is what it is. The Iowa women are the number two overall seed, a one seed in the NCAA tournament. Let's go hang another banner. The Iowa men, hey, do what you got to do in the NIT. Maybe we'll hang a couple of banners this year, right? Why the hell not? Either way, I'll be back with you Tuesday night after the Iowa men's game. And then we got a big, big few weeks of Iowa women's basketball. The final few games, hopefully six of the Caitlin Clark era at the University of Iowa. Thank you so much for listening. Follow all of our coverage. We're going to have a ton of it at HawkeyeNation.com. Rob Howe is all over everything as he always is. We appreciate you supporting that. And I appreciate you listening. And go Hawks!